Hoodwitch Magazine.
Hoodwitch Magazine.
Hoodwitch Magazine. What's rich in your hood? Magazine with J.R. Strong, rocking on and on through the break of dawn. My positivity is the way he flows. You might hear a bit of a trendy twang. Yeah, he goes all out to help his fellow man. He's giving all praise to the Most High Yah. He's not going to stop till he sees the love,
peace and love, harmony, working together.
Welcome to HRM with your boy J.R. Strong and Commander in the building. None other than Commander Rocky Robinson, founder of DSVAC, Bedford Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps, straight out of Brooklyn, man. That's my co-host of our radio show that we will definitely be bringing you here on the Keys 107 Network, right here on Blog Talk Radio. Every time that we can. Now this Wednesday, we're gonna be riding around in the patrol car on the ambulances, you know, and going through the neighborhood and letting you know what's happening, man. In the hood. That's right. That's where we from. You dig? So right about now, what we're gonna do is we're gonna give you a little music, then we're gonna come back and I'm gonna introduce the commander to you. And we're gonna make it happen right here on HRM. From Philadelphia, bringing you love is the message. Love for you, baby. Right here on the Keys 107 Network on Blog Talk Radio. Don't forget, check us out on the Keys107Network.com. That's where you find us. Also, don't forget, check out BSVAC.org. That's the Bedford Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps website. You want to find out more about the volleys? Yeah, just go up on the website. Go up on YouTube. We all over YouTube, man. You know what I'm saying? You can find out what's going on with us and come join us. Come learn how to save lives, okay? We'll be right back after these few commercials. Then I'm going to come back with my co-host, Commander Rocky Robinson.
The first are a family of clouds up in the sky. Keeping the earth clean so you will be all right. They'll teach you your ABCs and your red, rose, and greens. Bluffs are here to help.
The Fluffs Presents the Alphabet is available on Amazon.com and on Kindle, so get your copy today. For more information, go to www.thefflufffamily.com.
Rafika Consultants and Services Technology Trainers. Do you need help making your computer or smartphone work for you? Whether it's managing your email, navigating Windows 8, working with MS Office, creating videos for YouTube, or any other technology need, our friendly and expert trainers are ready to help you get it right. We also provide public relations and web design project management. For more information, contact us at www.rafikacs.com or on Facebook at Rafika Consultants and Services.
AKA Save a Life Rescue Squad.
We save lives in the community, and we go to any community that needs to learn how to save lives. We're not bound by territory or borders. We go wherever people need the help. Save a Life Rescue Squad, 718-453-4617. That's 718-453-4617.
Oh, man, here we go. One of my favorite artists. He goes by the name of Mel Holder, bringing you I Want to Thank You, Heavenly Father, right here on the Keys 107 Network on Blog Talk Radio. Heavenly Father, right here, man. I got the one and only Mr. James Rocky Robinson, also known as Commander. What's up, Commander?
What's going on, my boy?
Man, Commander, I'm feeling great. I got you in the house. For all you people don't know, this is the founder of the Bedford-Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps in Brooklyn, well known all over the world. Okay, the people's EMS. Am I right, Commander?
That's right. What do?
We save lives. Yes, sir.
Who are we?
Family. Yes, sir.
Well, who are we?
Family. The people's
EMS, baby. The people's EMS.
That's right. And we out here saving lives, man. Commander Rocky Robinson, I'm so happy to have you here. And I'm even happier that we're joined together to do this radio show here on the Keys 107 Network, okay? It's called HRM. That's my show, but we're about to change it to CRM, okay? Okay, that's the Commander's show. It's the Commander and the Captain in the house.
Yeah, baby.
Okay?
Sean Rocky.
And don't forget, we're about to have some guests on today. You know, so I got a very special guest today, you know, that we're going to be talking to soon, Commander. But, Commander, just give the people out here a little bit of information on who and what you've been doing for over 28 years in this community.
Well, you know, like, I'm a retired captain from FDNY EMS. And what I used to see, whenever we used to respond in the Jewish community, they usually had the patient already to the hospital. Hmm. However, when we respond in our own community, people was dying because it took an hour for an ambulance to come. Better not get shot or stabbed or something like that, because half of the people in the EMS at that time was even afraid to come into your neighborhood.
Wow.
So I'm saying, hey, man, if that's the way to do it in the Jewish community, why can't I do it in my community?
Right.
So what I did, I decided that I'll try to get some of the guys on my midnight shift. I was a lieutenant and a captain over there. Uh-huh. First a lieutenant, then a captain.
Right.
And I told one of the guys, I said, listen, man, I'm going to start an EMS in the hood. He looked at me like I had two heads, man. Man, you ain't going to get no damn volunteers in the hood. You mean for free? I said, yeah. I said, listen, man, there's one race, and that's the human race, and we are all human, man. And I'm seeing my sons, my daughters, my relatives, man, laying out the street, dying, watching the blood come out of their bodies. And people, if it's 4 o'clock, they're on the way to their home out in Long Island some damn where. Mm. They ain't gonna respond to your child struck, anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I had one guy decide he was gonna go with me. He was a Puerto Rican guy named Joe Perez. And it says, Commander, which was Rocky at that time, mm-hmm. if you want to do it, I'm with you. I asked everybody else, man, I ain't going to get fired, man.
They were scared, huh?
So anyway, it was 1988. Mm. The hike of the crack epidemic, every other call drug related, man.
That's right.
So we started then. We didn't even have an ambulance. We were actually running on calls. And tennis shoes, man.
Wow.
But guess what?
What?
We was beating everybody else there. And when the city ambulance came, they would have a live person instead of a DOA.
Wow.
So that's how we really started. And my first bunch of volunteers, because nobody else would join me, was reformed alcoholics, reformed drug addicts, prostitutes. We were like the crazy seven or whatever you want to call it. You know, but guess what?
What?
Everybody was laughing at us, except the patient who was saving his life.
That's right.
The patient that we were giving oxygen. That we were stopping the bleeding. Mm-hmm. And the family realizing, hey, those guys saved my son's life.
Wow.
That's how we started, man, you know, without an ambulance. But give God the glory. 28 years now, we still alive.
Yes.
A lot of the guys that started with me, 30, 28, 29 years ago, some are now nurses, doctors, paramedics, police officers, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them I couldn't help. Mm-hmm. But the ones that I helped, if you could help one person in your life, your place on earth is secure, your place on heaven.
Amen to that, Commander. Now, Commander, I know you lived a very interesting life. Just give us a little background of your life and where you came from before you actually got to the EMS.
My supposed-to-be father was the Indian, Native American. Mm. And my mother, African American. Mm-hmm. And they hooked up, but I came out dark. And that's no good on the Indian reservation.
Oh, really?
So the bottom line is me and my sister both was dark, and my other three family sisters and brothers, they were very light-skinned, mm-hmm. you know, high yellow. And so we were ostracized. So next thing I know, I'm on my way to New York City, me and my sister, with my mother, and I remember on the way, we couldn't use the regular bathroom. We had to go in the colored only. But by the time I got to Brooklyn, New York, at the tender age of 7 years old, we got on welfare, and I had to actually be the one to put the pork in the beans, man. To have TV and all that. And so I was the man of the house. My mother was very religious, but we were poor as Job's cat. And the only way I knew how to get some money was to stick up people, whatever, rob them, you know. And my mother seen what was happening to me. You know, I was degenerating to just a straight-out thug. You know, I remember they talking about being tolerant of gay people. I remember when we used to see gay people walking down the avenue, we tie them to the fence and burn them up.
What?
And then guess what happened with me?
What?
Two of my kids turned out to be gay. So, wow. So I don't know if that's karma.
Well, you sure can't tie them up.
But the bottom line is my mother told me, I think you're going to the military. And I'm not one to go against my mother. And when I got to the military, because of my hard life and everything like that, I excelled. So they asked me if I wanted to be a military police officer.
How old were you then?
I became a military police officer when President Kennedy got assassinated.
Right.
I walked the eternal flame, and at night, because they wouldn't put black people there.
In the daytime.
So I'm there at night, but guess who came at night? Jacqueline. And she used to have John Jr. in her arm, and Caroline holding her coat.
Wow.
So that was my history in the military. And once I saw that I could be somebody, you know, and then I come back to the hood and I see the disparity. And so this really, really energized me. On top of one day, I was working in the garment center and I came home. And I saw this big crowd out in front of our house. And somebody ran up to me and they said, man, your niece is struck by a car. And I ran over to her and I got on my knees, man. And she was looking at me. She was dying, man. Wow. And I'm hollering, somebody call an ambulance. Somebody call an ambulance. And seemed like it was a long time before they came, but when they did come, it was a shame because they didn't even know how to turn on the oxygen. They was an attendant and a motor vehicle operator. They were not trained to save nobody's life. The only thing they did was throw her in the back of the ambulance, you know, and I went with her and rushed us to the hospital, and she died in my arm, and I'm saying, like, hell no. Hell no, this ain't gonna happen no more, man. This ain't gonna happen no more. Not in my hood, man.
Right.
And that gave me the determination, man, where, you know, along with all the other things, after watching Hot Zola, you know, and I'm saying, like, man, I gotta do something about this. And it was very, very hard to get anybody to follow me, you know, but anybody to want to join, I would do.
Wow. God bless you, man, because, I mean, as you can see with what's going on today, and I guess it's been going on for a long time, a lot of us, especially a lot of us black folks, are dying out here very, 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 very rapidly.
Every other call, man. You know, even this week, man, we had 5 shooters in the hood. Five. You know, I lay up at night, man. I keep my radio on, man. And that's how come I lost. You know, I got 19 kids, man. Two of my wives died, you know. The bottom line is a lot of my ladies used to leave me, man, because they got tired of hearing that goddamn radio all night long. And I would get up out of my bed. If I hear that there's a child struck, I got this obsession, man. You know, I will go. I will run out there. I will maintain the brain. So, you know, and that's the main thing, whether you got an ambulance or not. Do you know what to do to keep that person from dying? And a lot of us, you know, we think you got to be a rocket scientist. That's far from the truth, man. And they don't want you to know that.
Yeah.
All you need to know is your ABCs, just like in kindergarten. Airway, breathing, and circulation.
Airway,
and
breathing, and circulation.
Everybody got 4 minutes of oxygen in their body. If you know what to do to circulate that person and get them to the hospital, 50% of the person that they pronounce DOA would not be dead.
Wow. That is so true. That's why it's so important, people out here. Everybody, not just one or two people or certain people, everybody should learn CPR, okay? Basic skills on saving lives. You never know when it's going to come in handy. Not just for you, for anybody. It doesn't matter what color you are, where you're from, if you're handicapped, if you got all your limbs. It doesn't matter, okay? You can help save a life, man. And that's what I'm so proud and happy to know you, Commander.
Well, you know? Let me just tell you like this here. About 2 months ago, I was doing a CPR demonstration, me and my daughter and my son, at a church out in Flatbush. The drummer stood up, grabbed his chest, and fell dead. The whole congregation started screaming and hollering.
Didn't know
I said, prayers up. Prayers up. And I told my daughter, go over there. And she ran over there. She opened up the airway. My son, Raquel, as a matter of fact, started compressing on the chest. It took the fire department, EMS, 10 minutes to get there.
He's long gone.
Who are you going to save in 10 minutes?
It's not going to happen.
So because we had started the CPR, that's what you call a witness arrest. Since we were there and was able to start pumping on him, and my daughter put oxygen with a bag mask that we had because we were doing the demonstration.
Right.
He was able to be saved. So by the time the department got there with their AED, automatic external defibrillator, when they shocked him, he didn't have a pulse. He just had us. However, by us maintaining the brain, when they were able to shock him, the first time he didn't come back.
Right.
Then we started the CPR again for another 3 minutes. Then they shocked him again, and guess what happened?
He came back.
The pulse came back.
To God be the glory.
But bigger than that, if you go up on my Facebook page, you will see.
Right.
Me talking to him.
In the hospital.
There was no brain damage.
Amen. Wow. See what I'm talking about? And all it takes is a little bit of experience, people. Once you know what to do, you can definitely save lives, man. Commander, I want to thank you because you taught me a lot in the short time that I've been around. I'm a first responder now. I know how to save a life. Yes, sir. I'm not just passing by the accident no more going, oh, my God, look what happened. Now I'm jumping out going, what happened? You need help? And I'm going there, excuse me, sir, are you okay?
That's right. Are you all right?
ABC.
Airway, breathing,
that's right. That's right. Now, what we're about to do right here, we're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back right here on the Keys 107 Network on Block Talk Radio with your hosts, the commander and the captain. And we got a very special guest, like I said, this brother. Well, I'm not going to tell you. I'm going to just let you, you know, let you find out for yourself when he comes on. But we're going to play a little commercial, probably play one song or two, and we'll be right back. You're tuned into HRM with the commander and the captain on the Keys 107 Network.
The first are a family of clouds up in the sky. Keeping the earth clean so you will be alright. They'll teach you your ABCs and your red, rose, and greens. Bluffs are here to help you learn to be. The first.
The Fluffs presents the alphabet is available on Amazon.com. And on Kindle, so get your copy today. For more information, go to www.thefflufffamily.com.
Rafika Consultants and Services Technology Trainers. Do you need help making your computer or smartphone work for you? Whether it's managing your email, navigating Windows 8, working with MS Office, creating videos for YouTube, or any other technology need, our friendly and expert trainers are ready to help you get it right. We also provide public relations and web design project management. For more information, contact us at www.rafikacs.com or on Facebook at Rafika Consultants and Services.
A.K.A. Save a Life Rescue Squad.
We save lives in the community, and we go to any community that needs to learn how to save lives. We're not bound by territory or borders. We go wherever people need the help. Save a Life Rescue Squad, 718-453-4617. That's 718-453-4617.
Welcome back on the Keys 107 Network with your host, JR and the Commander. Yes, what I'm about to do right now, I'm about to debut, if you want to call it a song, you can call it a song, but actually what it is, it's a manual, or if you want to call it instructions, all right? This is called the Heimlich Maneuver, okay, by Commander Rocky Robinson, James Rocky Robinson, okay? And the music was done by yours truly, Captain J.R. John Wilson Strong, okay? Y'all know my DJ name is J.R. Strong, okay? But when I'm at the BSVAC, it's Captain Wilson. Don't get it twisted, okay? All right, so check this out. This is called the Heimlich Maneuver, and what it's teaching you, again, is how to save a life. Am I right, Commander?
Very, very simple.
That's right. So check this out. Listen to the words, because they can help you save a life. We're about to do the Heimlich Maneuver song with Commander Rocky Robinson. Here we go.
If you see somebody joking, first for sure say I'm not joking. Put your hand around the waist and make the food come out their face. Up and in and out. Make the food come out their mouth. You have a problem with your life. Probably another life.
Yeah, you heard right here. That's called the Heimlich Maneuver, for all you people that don't know. So next time you see somebody choking, you heard what the commander said. Hey, commander, tell them one more time, okay? Because I don't think they really understood what you were saying.
If you see somebody choking, first for sure, they are not joking. Put your hand around the waist.
What?
Make the food out the face. Up again. In and out.
What?
Make the food come out their mouth.
He said, make the food come out their mouth. Make the food come out their mouth.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah, that's what it's all about, people. Saving lives. That's what we be doing right here, BSVAC. If you don't know what it stands for, Bedford Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps. Yeah, come on. Save a life.
718-453. 4617.
Yeah.
It will keep you going to heaven. Goodbye.
You got the message. The commander's in the building. Right here with the one and only. I'm the captain. You understand? He's the commander.
That's the leader.
Yeah, 107 The Keys, the network, right here. We about to bring it to you, ladies and gentlemen. This is only the beginning. We're starting very, very, very easy. But believe me, it's about to get intense. You know what goes down in Bed-Stuy and all around the world. What we do, save lives. Yeah.
All over the world.
All over the world.
And I just ask you, who are we?
Family.
What are we?
The people. EMS.
What do we do?
Save lives.
Where?
All over the world.
Be there.
Yeah.
Look around. We might be in your hometown.
Yeah. We're about to save somebody's life, man. Come on, let's go. It's all good. Yeah. Man, that's the Heimlich maneuver right here, brought to you by the one and only Commander Rocky Robinson of the BSVAC. That's his first hit right there, right, Commander?
Yeah, but let me just tell you that the other day I was so disturbed when it broke in the news that a 12-year-old child died unnecessarily in school.
I remember that.
Because she choked to death. And nobody on the staff, nobody in the school knew how to do the Heimlich maneuver.
Wow.
So I think every staff from schools to
churches, every
churches,
grocery stores, it don't even matter.
Any place, you need to know what to do.
Yes.
In case somebody's choking to death, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
You know, they spend money on everything. Except saving lives.
That's the truth.
And that is a shame. They give me all kind of awards from the Congress, the Assembly, every award you can, even the President of the United States is saluting me.
Right.
Go on my website. You will see it.
Oh, yeah.
But guess how much they gave me?
Money-wise?
Ungots, which is zero.
Zero.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one person got me money.
Who's that?
It's somebody that I don't follow very good, but I do now. John Hannity.
Wow.
He was able to generate $185,000.
Wow.
For the ambulance corps.
That's beautiful.
But all the other so-called politicians,
and people out
they
here,
all gave me awards.
No money.
And I just want to save lives.
That's it.
You know, somebody saved my life.
That's it. That's why we out here, man. I keep telling you people, you got to support, man. BSVAC.org, okay? That's our website. Go up on there, and we have a spot where we're taking donations, okay? We want you to help us help you. You get it? You're not giving us money so we can have a great time and all of that. You're giving us money and support so that we can support you. All right?
Giving the kids an alternative to the street,
exactly.
Man.
Exactly. And it's not just about saving lives in the streets because you're dying, but it's also giving you an opportunity to save your life, meaning that you have something to do in your life that makes you feel good, like you're doing something, which you really are doing something when you're saving lives, right? You know, it makes you feel good.
It does.
Right?
They love that uniform.
Oh, man.
I give them that uniform, and they earn their badges.
You know what?
They're strutting. I got kids that have been marching up Fifth Avenue with the mayor, with the party, you know, the Greek parade, the African-American parade, every parade that marched in the West Indian Day parade.
Labor Day parade.
Every parade, you got Save a Life Rescue Squad marching up and down that avenue.
That's it.
So it's about time somebody recognizes and say, guess what? I'm going to support their effort. I'm going to make some money to give. We give to everybody that has money, but we give to nobody that don't have it and doing the right thing.
Wow.
You know, I don't understand.
I don't.
So maybe our audience will get together, rally around, supporting our kids.
They need to.
And give them an alternative.
They need to, because believe you me, this is a good thing, man. And we've been here, 28 years? So if that's not a track record for you, okay, of something that actually works, something's wrong. You either can't see, you can't hear, or you're just not paying attention because you don't want to. 28 years, people, and you got to understand that this man has been doing it out of his pocket, okay?
Reverse mortgage, baby.
Reverse mortgage, taking his pension, okay, to pay for the ambulance corps, to pay for kids in the dust to take
selling lemonade and iced tea
so they can take the courses because some people can't afford it. But he goes into his pocket, okay, and make sure that they can take the test, okay? And if you don't have the money, you come and volunteer. He works something out with you, okay? But I need you all to do something. If you're coming, please go to Workforce One, okay? They have a program there that will pay for your schooling, pay for all your equipment for you to be a part and for you to be able to take the EMT test. All
right? And we need to talk to these politicians and make them make sure they are on. We are on the list of these programs that sponsor
That's
these
right.
young people.
That's
because
right.
a lot of times we go down there and they sponsor everybody else
except us.
They sponsor Gus, but not us.
I like that commercial. You funny guy. Hey, Gus, bring me that money. All right, stop playing. But, okay, right about now, what we're about to do, ladies and gentlemen, we got a special guest in the house, okay? This gentleman, we go back over 20 years, okay? That's how long I've known this man, okay? And for as long as I've known him, he has had such a great heart, okay? And he's here today because he has a story to tell. He ain't going to tell it to you right now, but you're going to listen out because his story is going to be told.
What is his name?
His name is Tony Chill Mitchell.
Wow, ain't that the guy that married that superstar?
Well, let me tell you.
Wow.
Let me tell you. When you hear about this guy's life and the things that he has done in his life, you're going to be like, wow, how did he do that? I want to do that, okay? He was married, yes, to a superstar from the 80s, okay? Very popular young lady. I'm not going to tell you her name yet, okay? And the way that he met her, okay, that's when you can tell he's a real G, okay? A G, triple G, okay?
That's how come I know him, huh?
All G's stick together, people. You got to understand that, right? You got the commander, the captain, and chill, okay?
I heard about him.
Oh, yeah. He has a great story to tell, okay? Talking about somebody that went from zero to hero. And he's still living his story because, obviously he's still alive. Okay, so the story is ongoing. But the beginning part of his story, which will be in a book form soon and on the big screen soon, you know, when you see this movie or you read this book, you're going to be amazed, okay? You're going to want more because it's definitely one of those stories, man, that's going to either uplift you, make you think about your life, think about the things that you're doing or the things that you want to do. You understand? And let you know, no matter where you come from or where you at in your life, anything can happen, or as they says, magic happens.
As long as you believe, baby.
That's right. That's right. So without further ado, I want to introduce to you, my friend, my homie, and my partner, I have to throw that in there, Mr. Tony Chill Mitchell of MTW. Get the name, MTW Productions, Inc. Tony, my brother, how you doing, bro?
Man, listen, it's a pleasure. It's a blessing. I give all praises to the Almighty that I'm here. It's really an honor and a privilege to be here with the commander. You know, and I'm looking forward to establishing a long-term relationship.
We just did.
You know, but certainly an honor and a pleasure to be here. And, you know, so, yeah, you know, I'm ready.
Well, Tony, I want you to just give our listening audience a brief synopsis of your life. As it is right now.
Well, as it is right now, you know, we just started up as you said.
MTW.
MTW, which stands for Mitchell Tracy Wilson Production, Inc. And you could expect nothing but the best of music, film, entertainment. You know, we gonna bring it. We gonna bring it hard.
Wow.
It's gonna be fast and furious, and we're gonna be a formidable entity.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna shake things up.
Right.
In
right.
the industry, because not enough. There's so much talent, untapped talent out there, that needs exposure.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we're gonna bring it to the table. We're gonna get them the exposure. Mm-hmm. But even more than that, we're gonna get Commander the money that he needs.
Yes.
To take this movement.
Yes.
Because I'm feeling this movement about saving lives.
Yes.
You know, and we're gonna get you that money that you need. Because we're gonna be tagging some of the biggest stars. Once we make our move in the industry, we're gonna be tagging some of the biggest stars, starting with Jay-Z.
Well, he come right here from Jay-Z Brooklyn, come from the hood here.
Exactly.
And I know I have responded many times to his family in the projects, man. As a matter of fact, man, if they would come on board, anytime they have any productions, they should demand that the best EMS in the world be their standby. Why are they going to Gus when they got us? Make sure, and that gives these young people jobs. So by you joining in with us, we will really be able to tag these superstars and let them know, don't you dare do a show without the best. You understand? Forget about the rest.
Absolutely,
I really
because
appreciate you.
No, absolutely, because you know, you know, a cat like Jay-Z come from the hood and has gotten as far as he's gotten. You know, I look at him at no different than the majors out there. And when we put it down, they gonna want a piece of it. Okay. And one of the things that we gonna demand, we're not asking. We demanded, right, that a certain amount of money is given to your movement. See?
That's great.
Right, and that's the force that I'm moving with. That's the confidence that I'm moving with. That's the spirit that I'm moving with. Because certainly, just like how I was banging these streets, I'm gonna be banging some doors and some heads if I have to. Make sure you get that money. Make sure you get that financial support. Cause this is real talk.
Now, Tony, just give our audience, a listening audience, a brief, you know, about you, where you came from, where you actually, you know, cause you're from the streets of Brooklyn, man.
Absolutely. I mean, born and raised, Brooklyn all the way, man. I mean, I've been in many places, like Jigga said, but I'm Brooklyn's own.
Hello.
Brooklyn is the blood that runs through my veins. You know, although I've been in Harlem for the past 13 years, and, you know, I've done some things in Harlem to the point of getting to know certain politicians up there, like Congressman Rangel, Bill Perkins, Keith Wright, Inez Dickens, and these people that I'm calling, I mean, I know them on a first-name basis. They know me on a first-name basis. When I go up into the Adam Clayton Powell Jr. State Office building, right, you know, it's like, they think I'm the mayor.
That's great.
You know?
Because I need that kind of influence to say, all of them have heard of Rocky Robinson, but they don't support me financially, and I can't understand that because I'm really amazed that the Jewish Ambulance Corps gets $500,000 and they are exclusive. They only deal with their own, whereas the Bedford-Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps is multicultural, and it doesn't matter about the color of your skin. It is what was then. We are multicultural, where we take in Jews, Muslims, Catholics. It doesn't matter what your religion. All we want to know, are you willing to save lives and change lives? But we need help. You know, I guess I've been so successful with my reverse mortgage that they think that we got funded. Well, Hello, we don't, people. It's just that we're there when people need us, so they figured they got to be supported. Nah, man, it's just that I grew up in the street and I know how to get that money when I have to. Don't let me have to resort to the old way of getting
Nah, we don't want you to do that. That's why you, see, you know, this is one of the things, and this is real talk, all right? You're OG. Okay? And like I said, it's an honor and a privilege to be in your presence. Right?
Well, it's an honor to be recognized by somebody of your stature. Because I know you, brother.
Real talk. Generals of your stature, you draw up the blueprint. And we, us youngins, we your fighters. We the ones that's on the front line. So you play your part as the general of this movement, and you draw up the blueprint, draw up the strategy. Of course, we're going to put our 2 cents in it.
Right.
We feel something ain't right, whatever the case may be.
Right.
But we're going to be on that front line. And like I said to you before, I'm making this commitment to you that the first piece of money we get, whether it's from my book, film, or any of the other projects, the MTW production take on, right? We breaking you off the top.
I mean, that's
not the middle, the top.
I hear you. Oh, man. That is so great. Let me just tell you. I just want my kids, my family, to be able to afford the best. I want to get them their uniforms, their sneakers, their BP cups. I want them to change that scope of a rifle to the BP cup, to the stethoscope, where they listen for the heartbeat and know how to keep a person alive. And guess what? They love it. If you give them an alternative, they love it, man. When I have them saluting, when I have them marching, and then they go on these parades and they're marching up Fifth Avenue and they have a sense of pride, man. That's what everybody needs, man. Everybody is overlooking the people at the bottom. But if you believe in the Bible, the bottom shall be the top, and the top gonna be the bottom, and it's happening now. In my lifetime, before I close my eyes, I just want to see that this ambulance corps, these kids, don't have to worry about, oh, where I'm gonna get the money for my books, where I'm gonna get the money for my equipment. You know, I can't afford to go to school.
To save lives.
To save lives. The only time they want to give me shelter is when they put me in jail. I go to Rikers Island, man, and I tell those guys, when you guys get out of here, I want you to come to the Best Dive Volunteer Ambulance Corps, and I will help you. I don't get that. Maybe that's why I'm so stigmatized, because they say, oh, those are a bunch of drug dealers guys has been in trouble. Yeah, goddamn right. We're the ones that need the help. Give us a second. You know, they incarcerate our kids for broken window crime.
Can I just pause you for a minute, because you just struck a nerve in me? Because I was one of those kids on Rikers Island. But I'm not going to get off into details. That's going to be something that's going to be in the book, right? But I do want to say this, right? Society as a whole has every bit to blame for those kids being the way they are, falling through the cracks of the system, being lured into the streets, being recruited by gangs, drug dealers, stick-up crews.
No alternative.
Right, exactly. And it's a systemic design for that. But when you look at the glorification of violence through the big screen, Hollywood. You know, I hear a lot of people cry wolf about, you know, hip-hop rappers, this and then the third. Okay, you know what? I'm a hip-hop baby. And I'm going to die a hip-hop baby. I love hip-hop.
Well, I'm the godfather.
Life without hip-hop.
I'm the godfather of hip-hop, man.
Right.
Back
exactly.
In the day when nobody but Big Baby Flav and Grandmasters,
Pioneer.
Hey, man.
Pioneer.
Pioneer. Of hip-hop, man. I used to sit the speakers outside my record shop, and the people at the bus stop used to miss their buses listening to me doing my hip-hop, you know, back in 1969. You understand? When your mother and daddy was getting down, your grandpa was out there. That goes back with me, man. You understand? But what happened is, a lot of times when I have my concerts in the park, kids start getting shot and everything. So I said, hey, man, I got to change this, man. Since I'm here, man, I got to start saving lives, man, because, you know, they started getting a little bit too violent, you know, and I felt like I was the catalyst, you know. So that's how come I went from hip-hop to basically saving lives in the community. I'm not blaming it on hip-hop. I'm blaming it on, like you said, a systemic a desire for violence being glorified all over.
It starts with the screen. It starts with the television. It segues to the big screen, right? Well, hip-hop artists take a lot of blame for it, okay? And the politicians and the preacher men's and all of them, you know, they approach the hip hop artists about, you know, talking about violence, glorifying violence and drug deals and so on and so forth. But I don't see you approaching Hollywood. There's a lot of hypocrisy in that.
Right.
To me. Well, we're gonna change all that. MTW production. We're gonna be putting out more music, more films that is more conducive to our growth and development as a nation, you know, black people in America. Because I'm not going nowhere. I'm not going back to Africa. I'll visit. I'm staying right here. And I'm claiming the inheritance of my ancestors.
I hear you.
Because we built this.
Right.
We built, listen, it's off the back of our ancestors' slavery that that America is the economical force that it is.
Right. Absolutely. The only reason why I go, only reason why I go all over the world, because I'm trying to get the notoriety to bring it back home. If I don't expand, if I have never expanded, I'm here 28 years, and the only way that I finally start getting recognition at the UN, at the Assembly, and all the places was when I went to Haiti, when I got contingents in Spain, when I got all over in France, I got contingents, and then people started to pay attention. Ain't that guy from the hood? Hell yeah, I've been in the hood all this time, and now you only recognize me when I go out of the hood. What kind, you know, it's like mind-boggling.
No, it is mind-boggling. See, here's my thing. You have a lot of superstar athletes out there. Like, for instance, I just came across something, social media, it could have been Facebook, you know, something or another, about Serena Williams donating X amount of money to building several schools in Kenya, in Africa, in Jamaica, and so on and so forth. But hold on, man. Where are you from? Because self-preservation is the first law of nature. So where are you from? See, this is what we coming at. This is what we coming at. We not knocking what she's doing.
Right. But charity begins at home.
Exactly. Charity begins at home.
Right.
So before you go overseas to those countries, yo, you give it up right here. Your hood, your neighborhood, in America.
Oprah was waving my CD up in the goddamn sky when she was doing a story on Jay-Z's father right in the next block. I just knew she was going to give me some money.
And what she do? What Oprah do, man? And see, this is what I'm saying. So we're going to, listen. We're going to make a mark in history. And it's not going to depend on Oprah. It's not going to depend on Bob Johnson. It's not going to depend on none of them individuals that's already made it. It's going to depend on our sheer dedication, commitment, struggle, because we 2016 information is at the fingertips. Technology has leveled the playing field.
Wow. You're right.
It's for the taking.
You're right.
And just like I was taking that money on the streets as a fearless kid, this is what we're going to do. The same approach with the same fearlessness, the same attitude, the same tenaciousness.
You got it.
You know, this is how we're coming. Sure.
But they're not going to give it to you as long as
you're
going to
keep putting it out there.
You're chilling, you know.
One project after
another. So God is, you know, you're a blessed man. This man is a blessing, my captain. This man here, when he came in here, the first day he came in here, he seen somebody.
He's talking about Tracy.
Tracy, baby. John Rocky. He seen a man disrespected me. He only knew me an hour. Nobody else stepped forward. From my kids to my colleagues, the people that I was putting through school, they all stand back. This man said, no, And from that day on, I said, that's Rocky. That is Rocky there. That's Rocky too. Tracy, baby, he knows it too. You know? And what has this produced? Produced you.
Yeah. And
you know, Jordan the team. So I know I got a feeling, man. I'm feeling it, man. I know that something's going to happen.
No, it is. It is.
We're going to get our ambulances rolling, that building over there. And we're going to have these young kids that don't have no leadership. It's my big thing is I want every kid that ain't got no father, no mother, I want to make sure we train them, man. I want to get them out of this show because I want to be their father. I want to be their commander.
I come from that stock. Fatherless, dysfunctional household, mother trying to play both parents, can't. Woman can't play the man, man can't play the woman.
We gotta help.
Come from that stock, so I know what it's all about, you know? You know, I know what it's all about. I know
that's
what it is. I once said, the prosecutor said, he's not fit to remain in society among law-abiding citizens. And as we was picking a jury, it was mentioned a jury of our peers, my peers. I say that them folks can't be a jury of my peers. In order for them to be a jury of my peers, they have to come from the same background as I do, a fatherless, dysfunctional household.
No doubt.
I'm going to end it right there. That's you got to get from the book.
Yeah, that's right. Don't forget. MTW Productions, Inc. That's the name of the company. Mitchell Tracy Wilson Productions. We're about to bring it to you, people. All right? We're bringing it to you very soon within the next 2 years. You're going to really hear about us and the things that we're doing. We're not out here to play games, all right? And we're not out here to be funny and, you know, and just show the latest fashion. And all of that type of stuff.
The skinny jeans.
Oh, that ain't happening, okay? You will not see me in skinny jeans.
Even if I wasn't, I'm 240 now, which, you know, I'm definitely not
skinny.
I'm not skinny, you know, which I know I got to lose about 40 pounds, you know, to maintain my health. We're not with the funny, the skinny jeans, funny jeans type.
But I tell you what we're about to do. We're about to tell some real stories, man. You know, some real stories. Me, myself, and my boy Tracy, you know, we had started doing a webisode series called The Life. And from starting to do that, which we were actually starting to talk about Tracy's life, you know, and it ended up of us telling stories of a few people in our neighborhood's lives, okay? And they're not anybody special. They ain't no superstars. None of that stuff, you know. They're not superstars. They're regular people like you and me that have been through drama in their life. But they're still here, okay? And they have a testimony to tell. Everything might not be the greatest, but you know what? They made it through the storm somehow. And they're still here to tell their story. So we're here to help them get their stories out to the masses. All right? So people, please pay attention and support us, okay? Just like you're going to support BSVAC. You're going to support MTW Productions. Okay? And right about now, we're going to take a little break and we're going to come back with the commander and my man T. Mitchell in the house. All right? And Mr. Tracy.
Let's go.
All right, right here on the Keys 107 Network on Block Talk Radio.
What's your name? I said, Miss, I'm chillin'. What's your name? I said, Mr. Tracy. She said, Mr. Taking, can I have your hand? Let's dance off what's on your mind. I said, no disrespect, I'm here just for me. But I must have had one too many drinks. Cause next thing you know, it's me on her. We out on the floor, no care in the world.
I'm just acting on emotion. Someone tell me.
See this one argument got me out here cheating on the very girl that I tell I love and I can't believe this. I'm going out of my mind. It's time I done crossed the line and I know this can't be right.
So the chick going real hard. I shouldn't do it, but I can't stop. Temperatures rising, oh, no. So high. If my baby knows she'd be so high. I know I shouldn't do it, but I can't stop. Temperatures rising, it's so high. My baby knew she be so hot, so hot, so hot. Am I crazy? Oh, am I supposed to do this to my baby? Oh, when going through it's no excuse for acting shady. Now am I supposed to break this to my lady? She's my baby.
I know I shouldn't do it, but I can't stop. Temperatures rising, getting so hot. If my baby knew, she'd be so hot. I know I shouldn't do it, but I can't stop. Temperatures rising, getting so hot. If my baby knew, she'd be so hot. She'd be so hot.
Am I crazy? I ain't supposed to do this to my baby. Baby, it's no excuse for acting shady. How am I supposed to bring this to my lady? She's my baby. Oh.
Yeah, that's your boy, Taj Monroe, Block Boys Entertainment, Guilty Innocence, right here on the Keys 107 Network, man. Don't forget his album is called Music for the World over in Europe. It's doing very well. Well, we're about to get back into the convo right here with the Commander. Hey, Commander, what's up?
What's going on, baby boy?
And my man, Tony Chill Mitchell.
Yeah, what's up? What's up?
Yeah, it's going down, man. Look, let's take it back a little bit. Let's go back. Into 1990s, things were kind of rough out here, okay? I was out. Tony, I think you were at Rikers Islands at the time. So
I was on the island, yeah.
So just give us a little brief on what was going on the island. But before you do that, Commander, you was around in that time. So you can tell us a little bit what you was doing back in the 90s around that time.
Well, I felt that we got to start with these young men that's locked up and don't got no chance, that, you know, all they know is they're different colors, like the Bloods, the Crips, the Latin Kings. And what I want to do, and I went over there to Rikers Island, and I did something that even the warden and the other guards, the correction officers, they were looking at me like I was crazy, because I wanted all of them, all the gang bangers from different gangs, to come into the same room. And when I got in there, I noticed everybody was sitting on their different side. And I right away said, everybody stand up. Everybody stand up. Now, I want you guys to change places, but don't change places with your homeboy. Change places and hold hands with a Blood. If you're a Crip, hold hands with a Latin King, because we are all family. And I want you guys to understand that. And I started teaching them CPR and first aid. And before you know it, even though they were looking at each other funny in the beginning, I think I made an inroad to the point of where even William Bill Shatner invited me to California during the riots.
Captain Kirk?
And the boys and girls Challenger Club, the Bloods and the Crips, I did the same thing I did in Rikers Island. So if you give these kids a chance to become family, they'll respond. I don't know how long it lasts, wow, but it lasted while I was there.
Wow, that's interesting. You said Captain Kirk beam y'all up, huh?
Captain Kirk from Star Trek got me and my boy Joe Perez, gave us $25,000 to go to California, because they saw what we did in Rikers. So they said they could do that in California.
Yeah. That's what's up.
And that's what was happening, because that's where it started at.
Wow. That's what's up, Commander. And Chill, you was on Rikers doing some things. I know that you were, you know, getting your entertainment groove on while you were incarcerated. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the Commander said, you know, Rikers, 1990 at that time, I think it was one of the most volatile times in the history of Rikers Island. And it had nothing to do with, you know, being overcrowded. I was, you know, I mean, every jail had its own EMS. And you had guys leaving out half their face hanging off, throats cut. So it was a savage nomad land, you know, on Rikers Island during that time. The tension was thick amongst the population, between gangs and so on and so forth, the Latin Kings, the Yetdas, the Bloods. Wasn't Crips. Crips wasn't on the island during that time. It was just Bloods during that time. And then you had the Muslims. And they all in their own right held their own. You know, it was to the point that I just decided, man, that, you know what made me want to bring something to the island that could change things and bring the gangs together was one day I was watching the news about a young kid who was laying on a sofa in the apartment. Fort Greene got struck in the head by a stray bullet. Okay. 5, 7 years old. Okay. And that's what really, really, really made me decide to do something about the gang violence while I was there. Because I felt that if I could bring about unity amongst the gangs on the island, then it would lead out to the streets, because the island was the streets, right? So yeah, so I decided to get a couple of people that I was close to on the inside, and we opened a dialogue with the superintendent of HDM at that time, so forth. So we was in the process of bringing Ralph McDaniels
video music box. Yeah.
I made contact with one of his people, young lady by the name of Cheryl McLeod at that time, and then we was also bringing in a pioneer entertainer out of Far Rockaway named SPUD,
mm-hmm.
and his son,
mm-hmm.
Also goes by the name of Spud Sleepy from Far Rock,
mm-hmm.
and he's definitely top contender, indie but top contender.
Mm-hmm.
His father bred him, So that's what I was doing. That's what I was about.
So you were putting on shows, trying to put on shows at Rikers for the inmates. That's what was going on?
To bring about a change. To bring about a change, to bring about unity amongst the gangs, man, because it's so violent.
So was it working?
You know, it's funny that you asked me that because 2 days before I supposed to met with the warden,
mm-hmm.
of James A. Thomas Center, which is HDM, the oldest cell block on the island, first built, oldest. Shit popped off.
When you say shit popped off, what do you mean?
Spanish correction officer got brutally beaten up
in
the hospital, in North facility,
mm-hmm.
By some brothers, and the accusation was that he was a corrupted
correction
officer. He was gang affiliated,
mm-hmm.
and he was setting up brothers, with the Latin Kings and the Yetas, and brothers just decided to, get him out of commission because, otherwise, brothers vulnerable.
Right.
And that sparked the Correctional Benevolence Association, to seize the bridge. 300 correctional officers marched on the bridge.
You said 300 correction officers marched on the bridge.
Yeah,
they shut it down.
Shut the foot of the bridge down for 2 days.
Was that legal?
Again, these are the things that we're going to talk about. Although it's public record, but these are some of the things that I'm going to touch on in my book.
Mm.
So that's something that you have to really get from the book,
okay.
whether or not that act was legal. Now, unless you want to do your own research,
mm-hmm.
I said it is public knowledge. It is in the public domain.
Mm-hmm.
So you can Google it and find out yourself.
Right.
Unless you want to wait until the book come out.
Not to give away the book or anything, but that whole situation, your name was mentioned in that whole situation in the news, the New York Times, huh?
The front page, New York Times.
And I read it.
I mean, I was beaten an inch away from dying.
Wow.
And, Commander, I really got to say that those guys, those EMS techs, knew they shit. Because I was out of here. I don't even supposed to be here. First and foremost, I give all thanks to the Almighty, Jano, Allah, however you want to call him, Buddha, whoever you want to call him, whatever you call him by is only one. But then those EMS workers, they weren't prejudiced, man. It's some things that pierces racism and prejudice, and that's one of them.
But I want to say something about that. Yeah, that's a little bit shocking, let me tell you. See, what I've noticed with most of the guys that are not people of color, if they respond to you in that way where they could be heroes, they do it. But if you are not in the limelight, if you're not sensational, they knew that if they saved you, they would look like heroes and good guys. And maybe they are. But let me tell you what I found out. If you're the same person and you beat the hell up, and those guys come into that alley, and ain't no newspaper around, ain't no cameras around, no sensationalism around, your ass will die. And I'm telling you the way it is. I've been in this business for 50 years, and I see the way they react, and this is how come I get very upset. If the glory ain't there, your ass is grass. And that's why I started this here.
Wow.
Because I want to be able, whether the cameras are rolling, whether, you know, I could be a hero or anything like that, my job is to save a life, whether nobody sees it or not. Where I don't get no glory and accolades and stars, that's when you know that a person's heart is in the right place.
And that's honorable.
And I'm not telling you nothing that I don't know and I haven't seen. Because I have seen over and over again when the cameras ain't rolling, when the sensationalism ain't there, there's not as much enthusiasm for saving a black life as you might think.
You know what? And that's, and you know, I'm going to tell you something. I have to be, that humbles me to say that I was fortunate because just before my beatdown, there was an individual who actually got drugged from one end of the corridor at the hands of black refugees to the rotunda, which is the area where they hold you at when you're about to go to court. And I'll be honest with you, it's about a foot, it's almost a football field length. And they whooped him, and he died. And it was no news around. That time, what you just said humbles me and it lets me know how fortunate I was.
Very fortunate.
To survive that beating that I took. Because I was in intensive care. I was on my way out. I'll be honest with you. I was on my way out. I had an out-of-body experience.
Oh, man.
I had an out-of-body experience, and the only thing that I can remember is when one, and people are going to be, it might come across shocking to a lot of blacks for me to say this, okay, it was at the hands of black correction officers, the last correction officer that I actually remember, and I only could remember a haze of his image of who he was. You know, he spread my legs open wide while I was on my back. And he commenced kicking me in my groin. And he said, "You're not going to have any kids. You won't have no babies." And when I got to the hospital, they examined, they took all my clothes off and everything, cut everything off. My testicles were swolled up. Size of maybe, you know, they said abnormally swollen, you know, maybe the size of your softball.
Okay? And I understand what you
said.
And
I'm gonna tell you something. I have a beautiful daughter who's about to graduate high school this June. What's supposed to happen?
But I want to tell you something about a lot of us. We're harder on our own kind than we are anybody else. I don't know what it is that make us feel superior to our brothers once we, the white man, tell us, "Oh, you're different than them." No, I'm not different than them. They are me and I am them. I don't want to be different than them. Once they get in their head, "Well, you're not like the rest," they go and laugh at your ass behind your back. You thinking you're different because you're doing their bidding. I do the bidding of God, not the bidding of, you know, and I'm not, they call me racist. I tell it like it is. I don't do the bidding of the white man. I do the bidding of God. Period.
I feel that.
You understand? It doesn't make a difference to me. You understand? And I'm not going to suck up to you because you light or white. You can forget that, and I'm going to tell you like it is. And somebody told me that's why you don't get no money. Well, I don't need no money if I got to kiss your butt. And I know I'm doing the right thing.
Or take a banana up the tailpipe.
My integrity or my credibility.
Or put a skirt on.
I ain't gonna do that. You know what I'm saying?
That's what they want all the black, the black male actors to do in Hollywood. Just put a skirt on.
What's that all about?
You got the skinny jeans on. You got a skirt.
The black man, that's what's going on. See, so they can keep degrading us, okay? Like it's been happening for all these years, and we fall for it because, oh no, just do it. It's funny, ha ha, yeah, it's comedy. My behind, it ain't funny.
You're right, you're behind.
It ain't funny. You dig? And I'm not getting off any topic, okay? I wore a dress. You know when I wore a dress? When I was at my grandma's house, when I was a little kid, and I spent the night, and they had no nightie to put on, and she said, here, put that on. And I'd be like, grandma, I don't want to wear your dress. She said, boy, you better put that on. And that was it. After that, never, ever, 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 ever would you see me wearing no dress.
Butt ball naked.
Nah, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that one. Nah, that wasn't happening. Grandma was going to let that happen. You ain't never had one of my grandma's beating, so you think that correction officer will beat you. My grandmother know how to throw things, okay? You got to understand. But anyway, getting back on the subject, you know, it's very, very disheartening. It hurts sometimes to hear.
That's one of them times I would have definitely took a slave whooping.
You know?
Me too.
God bless you, Grandma. You know what I'm saying? But you know,
I'm quite sure she didn't mean no harm, though.
Nah, she didn't. Not at all. God bless her soul, man. I thank God because if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be here right now, you know? She was one of the people that raised me, you know? When Mom was out working, Grandma was the one that let me run the streets, actually. And from by me, when I say run the streets, I don't mean I was running crazy out here, but I got the opportunity to do certain things that put me where I'm at, made me who I am. You understand? And that's one thing, too, we got to understand is, as I'm a parent now. All right, my daughter's what, 19? Woo! About to be 20 years old and got a mind of her own. Boy, does she have a mind of her own, because she ain't trying to hear nothing I'm saying, you know? And that's how it is sometimes as a parent. But I learned there's times when you got to let go and let God. You understand? And that's what I'm doing. I'm letting go and letting God, you know, still praying for her. You know, that she make the right moves, because I think everything that I taught her was good that I learned from my peeps. You know what I'm saying? It was good. And if she do what she's been taught, she should be all right. So I shouldn't have nothing to worry about. You know what I mean? And all our kids out here today, man, that's running around stray, don't have nobody. They think they don't have, you know, they don't have a father figure, a mother, a big brother. I was big brother. You understand? Out of three boys, four boys and a girl, I'm big brother. Okay, when dad was gone, and I'll tell you, because my three brothers, all right, we all have different fathers, okay? So my mom's was that single parent, just like you said, T. Mitchell, just like you said, Commander Rocky, my mom's was my dad, too. She tried to be, but then there came the time when I had to step up. Okay, at the age of 17, 16, actually, when I had to join the army to leave to go and try to help my mom support, take care of my two brothers, okay? And that was a life-changing situation for me, because that's when I learned to really be a man. You understand? When I had to leave home, okay, and have to go out and make a living and send the money back so my family can live. And you know how great...
Mommy.
What? That made me feel so good. When I talked to my moms on the phone, she said, you ready to come home? I'm like, no. I'm having a ball out here, Ma. Living. You know what I'm saying? And that's what we need to teach our kids, how to live. Okay? Some of us get overprotective of our kids. We don't want them doing this. We don't want them experience life because of the stuff that we've been through. You know what I'm saying? Because of the things that we've been through, we try to block them. And you could attest to this, Commander. We try to block certain things from our kids so they don't have to go through the same things that we go through. But everybody had their own individual life to live, okay? God did not make it for us to all live the same life. We all have testimonies. The only way we're going to have these testimonies is if we go through what we go through. Commander wouldn't be here today if he didn't go through what he went through. I wouldn't be talking to him today. I wouldn't be talking to T. Mitchell today if he didn't go through what he went through. And if we didn't have these situations that we could come back and we could tell a young person, even an old person, listen, I did this, and this is what happened. Okay? You could do that too. That could happen to you. You know, but you can also do that. Okay? You got a choice, and it's up to you. Make the right choice. Make the right choice. That's all. We all made choices in our lives, and a lot of them wasn't good at times. Okay? And then we get to that age where we realize, you know what? You better start making your life good with God. With God, not with man. With God. And when he brings that awareness to you, ain't nothing else you can't do but do what you're supposed to do. Because it's going to be on you for the rest of your life. You could try and run away from it. I've been trying to run away from being a preacher for years. But then I realized I'm a DJ on the radio. I'm a DJ in the club. And I'm preaching.
Right.
Any way you put it. He didn't say I had to be in the church. He didn't say I had to read it out the Bible. I'm reading from the Book of Hard Knocks, man. Of life, bro. That's not my
experience is the best teacher.
It's the best teacher, man. You know, so
that's why books are made
up. Exactly. So, T. Mitchell, man, I'm so happy. I'm so happy that you're a part of my life, bro. I'm so happy the day when you gave me that phone call.
Same here.
You know, like I told y'all, me and this man, take the mic. We go back so many years, you know. And you know, we've been an inspiration to each other, you know.
Absolutely.
And I'm so happy that you decided to really tell your story to the world and that you actually came to me to help you tell that story.
Well, you know, hey, man, listen, you know, like I said to you before I go outside of my immediate circle, you know, I'm going to give the opportunity to people who were there from day one.
Yep. Yep. That's what it is. And we got to remember that too, people, loyalty. Loyalty. A lot of us forget what loyalty is, okay, or even how to practice it. Okay, because it's something that you practice. You understand? Loyalty and honesty. You understand? We got to practice.
And, you know, and then the other thing is that, you know, everybody don't come from the same stock.
True that.
I mean, Commander, you know that. You know, everybody don't come from the same stock. I'm just one of those that come from that stock, man. And I consider myself to be like a dying breed. Like, you know, like I'm quite sure you feel the same way, right, Commander?
It's true, man, because I don't meet many real people anymore. That's unfortunate, man. And what I do, I cherish them, man. That's why I'm so happy to meet you and the captain and Tracy, man, because they've been lacking in my life. You know, like what I've been through with my immediate family, I don't even like to talk about it, you know. Because it's so heartbreaking, you know. You know that phrase, you can lead a horse to water, you can't make him drink.
Can't make him drink.
You know what I mean? I'm trying to give them something so they don't have to go through with what I went through. Mm. But they're refusing it. So, it hurts me because I know that they're not going to be the recipient of everything that I've done
all
through
the good
my
deeds.
Life. Mm. All they're going to do is just.
But they're going to continue to benefit from your legacy because we're your extended family.
I believe
we're your extended family, and we're going to make sure that your legacy continues.
But let me just tell you something. I want my flowers while I'm alive. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I know that my legacy is going to live, but I would love to smell my roses while I'm still here, man. I know I'm going to have crowds all over, politicians, family, everybody. But, you know, when I'm laying in this bed at night alone, when I have to get up, get my crutches, and struggle to the bathroom alone, when I have to get up in the morning and try to fix my breakfast. I don't want no damn old folks home. But if I had a father like me, I'm not bragging, or I would be right there for him, man.
Yes, sir.
The only reason why my kids don't, none of them want to live with me, they run away from me, because I want them to do the right thing. And the right thing ain't serving me. The right thing is don't do drugs, don't do alcohol.
You remember the story of Moses? Was it Noah? Noah in the ark. Okay, you remember when God spoke to him, right? He told him that one of his sons was going to be one of those who lag behind. This is Noah, the prophet Noah. God told him, said, your son is not amongst the believers. He's going to be one of those who lag behind and be amongst the unbelievers. And in fact, I even believe that in the scripture it says that God told him, don't pray to me for him. That's deep. But did that stop Noah? So I look at you, Commander, like you're Noah. I'm in the presence of that spirit that dwelt in Noah at the time. Don't worry about it. We got you. God got you. We got you. And if your biological don't fall in formation, like Beyonce say, formations, we going to fall in formation in this deep. Because they your blood don't make them your family.
Unfortunately, that is so true.
All right, so I had to just drop the story of Noah on you.
I appreciate that. But, you know, when the rubber hit the road, you know it came out of you. And you just hope.
Wow. Life, people. That's what we're talking about here. Right here on the Keys 107 Network. On Block Talk Radio. Don't forget, check us out on the Keys107Network.com. That's the website. Also on Facebook, the Keys107 Network. That's our fan page. All right. And our group page on Facebook. Don't forget, also on YouTube, you can check us out at Hood Richish. Hood Richish. All right. That is the YouTube site where you can definitely, you know, see what's going on with BSBAC, okay? Bedford-Stuyvesant Volunteer Ambulance Corps, founded by Commander Rocky Robinson, my partner right here in this crime that we commit right now on this radio, okay? Yeah, we gangsters today. We gangsters today.
For sure.
But we gangsters for a good cause, okay?
For sure.
Okay, we gangsters to help people to live. Understand
sure.
that. Teach you how to live, because a lot of us are in, we're in our own prison in our minds. Sometimes we lock our own selves up, and it takes us a while to get out. Okay, I want everybody to break out. This is a breakout. You're breaking out.
You know, hey, it reminds me of what Jigga, what he said in one of his songs. You know, in prison minus the bars.
Minus the bars. You get that? Did y'all really get that? A lot of us are living in that prison. Okay? You don't need bars to be in prison, okay? Understand that. You could be in prison in your own house. I got people that's in their house that has not left their house in years. Believe that. I almost became one of those people that got depressed and looking out the window and watching everybody go to work. And I'm watching them, and I'm scared. I don't want to go outside. And why was I scared? Because I saw one of my friends get killed, okay? And it shook me up. You know why? Because I was so far away from the incident, but yet somebody ran up on me in that gas station and was like, yo, you know so-and-so? Yeah, he just got killed, man. And I'm like, yo, how you know me? So when you think people not watching you, they watching you. Alright? So you gotta make sure that all your actions and everything that you do is righteous.
Yeah, because the law of karma is real.
Definitely. Definitely. You know, I've seen so many things where I'm surprised that I'm here. But God has me here for a reason, okay? I've had my faith with death, okay? I've had my heart attacks and all of that kind of stuff. And God brought me back and told me, listen, nah, you ain't going nowhere, bro. I got something for you to do. Okay? I made a deal with God. Back around 9/11 when my mom was missing. Okay, for a whole week my mom was missing, yo. That's the most painful week I ever had in my life. Okay, and I told God, I said, yo, God, if you bring my mom's back, whatever you want me to do, I will do. You understand? People, I'm doing it right now. I'm talking to you on the radio right now. I'm bringing you Commander Rocky Robinson of BSVAC right now. Okay, I'm bringing you Chill Mitchell right now. Okay, because God said to bring it right now. Now is the time, people. Get out of yourself and get into yourself. Okay? This is your man, J.R. Strong. I'm here with Commander Rocky Robinson, my partner. Okay? I'm here with my peeps, Tony Chill Mitchell, my partner. I'm here with my man, Mr. Tracy, my partner. Understand it. We are partners, people. And that's what y'all need to learn how to do, to become partners with one another. Stop fighting one another. You understand?
Stay loyal.
Stay loyal to one another, man. So we can make things work for ourselves. Ain't nobody else going to do it for us.
Right.
We can ask all we want to for money and all of that, but they will look at us and go, ha ha, yeah, I'm going to give you that. And then you never see them. Because we have to do it for ourselves, people.
Whatever you want in life, you got to work hard for it.
What? Look at Commander Robinson. You think it was easy for him? Huh? You think it's easy for him to run this organization for all these years? For all these years. And you know what I see? I see us going to award ceremonies and everybody's patting him on the back. Oh, Rocky, you did such a great job. Oh, Rocky, they're so wonderful. Oh, you're helping our kids. But ain't there one of them helping him. Ain't nobody.
Well, you know, here's the thing, though, JR. You know, like I said, you know, we're going to lead by example. And, you know, saying we're going to let the action, we're going to let our actions speak, take the lead. And, you know, people going to fall in line because what I realize is this, you know, the ones of them that made their pact with the devil, you stay on that side.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? Because we made our pact with God.
Yes, sir.
We going to stay on this side.
Yep.
So but when you split the screen down the middle,
yeah,
you got two sides. Which side you on?
Exactly.
That's what it falls down to, man.
And I want
to
be on the right side.
Exactly. And commanding, you know, your movement, we're gonna fund your movement. Don't worry about it. You're gonna have more than enough. All right, you're gonna have more than enough. All right? You know? God got this.
Commander,
I'm on God's side.
Commander, before we leave, I just want you to give out the phone number. Okay? The phone number and the address of BSVAC. So anyone that either wants to become a member or they want to support, remember, support us and donate something to this cause.
I need everybody to take out their crown and put this down. First, I want you to go to my website and look at B as in boy, S as in Sam, V as in Victor, A as in Apple, C as in Charlie.org. Then I want you to take our telephone number, 718-453-4617, and show your support. And send me your kids. Send me your relatives. Send me yourself. But send us something that we can keep funding this program for these young kids who need help.
Yes.
And we are family.
Yes.
And family stick together.
All the time, man.
And thank you for your support.
Man, and Tony Chill Mitchell, brother, I want to thank you so much for coming through today.
It's been my pleasure.
This is not going to be the last time.
I know that's right.
You know, we got a whole lot to let these people know.
Looking forward to it.
You
man.
Know, the project coming up, you know, soon. MTW Productions is doing it right now. The name is Subject. We don't have a name for it yet.
Well, you know, that's the whole thing. I mean, you know, came up with a couple of titles. But, I mean, I just want to get the book done. Sometimes
right.
You got the work got to get done first.
Yeah, let me send a shout-out. I want to send a shout-out to Mr. Isaac. What's
yeah.
Isaac's last name?
Charles Isaac Ferguson.
Charles Isaac Ferguson, who's the writer.
The lead writer, yeah.
Lead writer on this project. Also, I want to send a shout-out to Mr. Adrian Buckmaster. Adrian Buckmaster, who is the director of photography right now. And also, I want to send a shout-out to my man, okay, who just had his debut of one of his movies that he wrote with Mr. Danny Glover, okay, and if you want to check it out, it's up on social networks right now, okay, his name is Mr. Henry Mitchell.
Yeah, that's on IMDb.
Yep.
Netflix, but IMDb got the information. Yeah, but yeah, yeah.
You know, he just did a movie. He's on this project as a writer also. And plus, there's going to be a whole lot of
that's
other...
That's my big brother.
Definitely. There's going to be a whole lot of...
I had to throw that out there, man.
A whole lot of other people getting involved. I want to send a shout-out to our brother, Jay Daniels.
No, that's my little brother.
You know, Block Boys Entertainment.
Our little brother.
Our little bro, producer extraordinaire.
Yeah,
mogul
producer.
In the music industry. Believe that. And we all on the come up, people.
All on the come up.
We all started together, and you know what? We're still together, people. Over 20 years.
That's right.
And we're still together.
Still here, man.
Family.
Still here.
Who are we? Family.
Family.
Believe that, man. So once again, I want to thank everybody for tuning in. This is JR, JR Strong, right here on the Keys 107 Network. You can check us out. All of our episodes are up on the website. If you can't check us out on the Keys107Network.com, you can check us out on iTunes. Yeah, we on iTunes, okay? And we're out here, man. Please, let us know what you think about what we're doing. Send us a line, okay? The next show that we have, we're going to be actually out on tour on the road with Commander, where we're going to be in either in the bus or we're going to be in his vehicle, and we're going to be showing you what's going down in the hood. We're going to go out on the calls so you people can actually really see what we do and know that it's not a joke, people. You know?
If you see what really goes on in the hood, yeah, you're going to be shocked.
You'll be
and
shocked.
And we're going to film it all.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy. We
always... We're going to do a realistic, real... reality show.
Exactly.
You haven't seen reality till you see us in the hood.
That's right.
You know.
That's right.
Doing good.
That's right. That is
heroes from the hood.
That's right. We doing it. I want to send a shout out to my Keys 107 Network family, Miss Rafika and Mr. James. I want to thank you for this opportunity of letting me be a producer and to have my own show. Wow. God is good, ain't he? Ain't he? You know, and giving us this opportunity to talk to you people, man. God bless each and every one of y'all, and we'll see you on the next episode of HRM with Commander Rocky Robinson and J.R. Strong. Captain, don't forget it, all right? Peace.